BlackoutTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Las Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all have become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at FightBooth.com or RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. I have to readjust because we changed sponsors, so I don't remember, and I'm sorry if I screw it up in advance. I'm host Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Yep, we're here. We're live. It's at Wild Talk Radio, it's at Rack Radio Show. There's going to be a little bit of the internet delay because someone's having a little bit of an internet issue, so that's always going to be a fun, happy time. You can follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTLive. Come chat with us there. Interact at Lynch Ward, at Rack Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter, wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com is a place to listen to the show live right here and right now. We have a lot to get into.
Yay, electrical storms. Yay, electrical storms. Woohoo!
You can hear the delay now.
Yeah, you can hear the delay. I'm so sorry in advance. We're going to try not to talk over each other, but yeah, there's a few seconds delay. I've tried to kill like everything I can kill in terms of internet usage, and so far nothing is helping, so we're just going to kind of roll with it.
Yes.
Sure, we'll go with that. We're going to roll with it. So like you said, we have a lot to get into tonight. We have news, we have NXT, we have SmackDown, Tweet of the Week, all your favorites, and we are talking WWE Fastlane, which happened this past Sunday on the WWE Network, so we will talk about that a little bit in the show, but I have to do the cheap, the very cheap, shameless shill plug because it's sitting right here next to me. If you haven't checked out our review of WWE's Greatest Rivalries by the fantastic Jake Black, I highly recommend you check out our review and go buy the book because he's a very nice man who wrote a very awesome book. He and his team, I should say. So get a chance, check it out, read it. It's pretty cool. So yeah, and we did a review on it. Don't know why hands, but also you should like check that out. It's pretty fun.
It's available now at rockradioshow.com.
The interview, not the book. You can buy the book everywhere. Or I should say the review is only available. RockRadioShow.com. Ding. Cheap, shameless whore plug right there for everybody. I don't do it quite as well as he does, but I'm not as flexible as he is.
Not even going to touch that one, so let's keep moving, shall we?
Let's keep moving. All right. Yes, Brent, it's The Rack. It's Thursday nights, live on WildTalkRadio.com. And, you know, did you know you could use creator code ROCKINSUCK at an item shop or the Epic Games item shop? Check it out. Remember, creator code Rock and Sock. That's what we do on this show. All we do is shamelessly shill and rock horse himself out to whomever he can. Because that's what being a producer is.
Yeah.
So you do stuff.
Yeah.
It just involves bending over and spreading your legs.
Well, I'm very flexible like that.
Yes, yes you are. We've already established that. Anyway, we're going to jump into the news brought to our friends over at fightbooth.com. And, well, we don't have a lot of news, which is good. It's always good. But we do have some bigger stories. And, well, WWE announced that they have some new Performance Center signings. World-traveled ring veteran Robert Strauss, a.k.a. Robbie E. of TNA fame, has signed, along with renowned manager Stokely Hathaway and second-generation wrestler Cal Bloom. So congratulations to them.
Yeah. Robbie E. has been in the business 18 years. 18 years.
That's a long time.
And now he's at the PC. 18 years. Cool.
But that's good. Maybe he'll get his big shot.
Yeah, bro. Could be lit.
He could team with Matt Riddle. We could have the bros. Lit.
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 It'll be Brent's favorite tag team ever.
Bro.
Robbie E. and Matt Riddle. Just saying. In other news, Impact signed OVE's Dave and Jake Crist. Or I should say they didn't sign them. They re-signed to multi-year contracts. So congratulations to them as my computer goes to sleep. Thank you very much, computer, for doing that to me. Yay! And in other news, going back to WWE for a second, if you know what these are, and I'm going to date myself because I remember when these were a thing way back in the day. Know what these are? This is pretty cool. WWE has teamed with the Garbage Pail Kids to create custom WWE Superstar Garbage Pail Kids cards. I kind of want them. I really kind of want them. If nothing else, I want the Miz one because it's got Miz, Maurice, and Monroe Sky on it.
Yeah, they're cards and
t-shirts. I mean, shut up.
They're cards and t-shirts.
I know. If you don't know what these are, I strongly recommend you check them out. This is an 80s thing. 80s, early 90s thing for sure. So you were alive in that era, which Rock and I were, and I think a bunch of other people who are listening were. You're pretty excited about this. If not, and if you were born later, there's nothing wrong with that. But check it out. Educate yourself because it's pretty fun stuff. If you're into that kind of thing. I don't know if you are or not, but I would recommend checking it out. And let's see, do we want to do the Blame Brents?
Yeah, let's do it.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
It's hard to get a flow with the news because it's like so random.
So
it's like just a bunch of random stuff.
It's random and there's delay and everything. So we're just working through it. Working through it.
We're just working through it. We're going to keep working through it. You know what's going to happen? My internet's going to clear up like 5 minutes before we're done with the show.
Yep.
That's the way this always goes.
That's how it's going to go. So let's continue.
By the way, in case anybody's interested, I'm well on the way to being actually back in my house with good internet. So yay to that. Hopefully another 6 weeks and this will all be fixed. Anyway, moving on. Not that the internet isn't good here, but issues.
Anyway.
Wireless. Moving on. Chelsea Green, who made her debut last night at the Full Sail taping, sadly broke her wrist and will require surgery to fix it. That sucks.
Hashtag blame Brent.
It does. She worked a dark match at the TV tapings last night, her first appearance at Full Sail. So, yeah, she had surgery this morning.
I mean, for her, especially because she came in kind of as a ringer in Tough Enough. That's sort of where, I mean, she's a world-class wrestler. She was known well before she did Tough Enough, but that's kind of where she sort of got introduced to mainstream audiences. And almost had a contract with WWE, and then she either declined it or she didn't get offered one, and so she went to Impact, and she was with Impact for a good long while, and she left Impact, and now she's in WWE, and it's like your first night you get there and crack. It's like, ooh, damn, that sucks.
Yeah, she's
so been, I hate that for her.
She's been working the house shows and everything for the last few couple months, and yeah, this was the first time they had her used her as a dark match on TV, which means once you start doing that, then you're gonna move to TV, and so this would be a minor setback for her.
Yeah. So best of luck, Chelsea, as you recover. Hopefully everything goes swimmingly for you. And last but certainly not least, we have our next round of Hall of Famers for this year's class. And it was announced that Harlem Heat will be joining the class this year. This is a very interesting class, I have to say. See, I'm not against it at all.
It's very unique.
But it's a good class.
Yeah.
It's just, the choices are just interesting. That's all. I'm not knocking anybody that's been selected. They're all fully deserving. Not that I have any right to make that judgment whatsoever. But normally there is like a flow and a pattern to the Hall of Fame, and this year there just is like no flow or pattern. It's just sort of there. So it's interesting how they're making the selections this year. That's all.
I don't disagree.
Alrighty, so we're going to move on from the awkwardness that was the news to the NXT Rundown.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
You were going to say?
My boys were on this show! That's the only thing that mattered. Mustache Mountain was on NXT. That's it. Good night, everybody! No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
They had a really good matchup with the Forgotten Sons, with the Forgotten Sons moved on with the victory in the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
I mean, honestly, I would not complain if we got to see that again. I really wouldn't. I think Mustache Mountain works well with anybody that they put them with, but this was pretty outstanding. I have to say, I'm really sad they got knocked out, but you know, for all the real reasons why they got knocked out, because they do have to go home. They don't live in the US, they live in UK, so they have to go over there and rock. Everybody sucks over there in Europe and in UK, so I get that, but damn, they are so good at what they do. And the crowd was super into them.
Oh, yeah, they were very much into them.
And Tyler Bate. And Tyler Bate is super scary strong.
Yeah, he is.
Just a bit.
Matt Riddle got interrupted by Adam Cole on the show. And looked like they have some unfinished business now, too.
Yep.
Io Shirai and Bianca Belair battled.
It was weird seeing him in a tie. Sorry.
Yeah, it was. Io Shirai and Bianca Belair battled in a number one contenders match that really had no ending because of Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, but Shayna was good on commentary. This was a very entertaining match. I wouldn't mind seeing this again without Shayna Baszler. But yeah, this was super good. I mean, you would expect that. I think we're going to say this about every match that it was good because it's NXT. It's generally always superb. But yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Bianca versus Io Shirai again.
And because of Shayna's interference, it is now a four-way at TakeOver between Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, Shayna Baszler, and Kairi Sane for the NXT Women's Championship.
I'm fine with this. I'm okay with this. This is all fine.
And then was your main event. And what a main event it was. It was the Ricochet and Aleister Black taking on hashtag DIY with old music, old shirts, and old gear back together.
Same bitter resentment.
Same bitter resentment back together again in a really good matchup.
I mean, you can't say really anything bad about this match at all. You can't. The fact that Johnny and Tommaso can pick right back up essentially where they left off and do exactly what they were doing before all the unpleasantness occurred is really kind of disgusting and awesome at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like nothing ever happened. The last year just never happened. It was just like, yeah, we're fine. We're going to fight together. We're going to win. It's going to be great. Yada, yada, yada. And they just, you know, they had a really, really great match.
So,
but that's to be, like I said, that's to be expected.
Yeah, very much to be expected. So at the end of the match, Gargano was down on the outside with a knee injury. So Ciampa took the fall and took the loss. And then after the match, he showed concern for his fallen partner. Candice LeRae ran to the ringside to check on Gargano. And Ciampa puts down his belt and helps Gargano to his feet. And they both carry Gargano up the ramp. He's also, you know, holding, you know, very limping, very slow moving. Gargano stumbled on the top of the ramp. And Ciampa and Candice show very much concern for Johnny. And then you get the camera pans to Tommaso as Johnny's getting back up to his feet. And you see the look. He's like, come here, you son of a bitch. And he goes to throw Gargano into the board. But Gargano puts his foot down, showing it's fine. And Ciampa's like, oh, crap. He set me up, and he got sent into the LED board, and then Gargano gave him the running super kick to close the show.
Which was great, and Mom was all smiles as Candice LeRae looks on, grinning with glee, and Johnny Gargano declares, Johnny Wrestling is back.
They had to set it up. You knew this is where they were, you know. It's only a matter of time before some Gargano or Ciampa betrayed someone, and this is what happened. It is a shame that every time that there's a turn, Ciampa's injured.
I know, and I love it. I love how that this is how that they write Tommaso off TV for the next little bit because he is injured. Thanks, Brent.
But it was,
every time somebody gets.
But it wasn't the write off. It wasn't supposed to be the write off, and that's the thing. It wasn't.
It is now.
It is now. But it wasn't supposed to be. So, like, Ciampa, two big turns, is now gone at the times of the turn. So it's like, that's a thing.
That's a thing. So we'll have to see if they pick back up where they left off in a few months after Tommaso Ciampa is back.
So we now know in the finals of the...
But I think that does it for NXT.
So we now know in the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Classic, it will be Ricochet and Aleister Black versus the Forgotten Sons in a couple weeks. So that should be very, very interesting. But yes, that is NXT.
That is. So we're going to take our first, and I believe only, break of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back, talking all about Fastlane and SmackDown this past week. So you don't want to miss it. So they're right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll be right back. Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Wow. Becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Where are you, Gundam style, over here?
I told you, I told you. Not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't hurt you.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. I'm going to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
The Rack Extra gets a little Bella. In the form of Total Bellas. Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
I feel like I'm trapped, like
you're trapped.
Living in a padded cell.
Check out the Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns.
Maybe I have one more ass kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means... Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
and the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/rackradioshow.
Did you know you can use support the creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's our OCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
Self high five.
It's me, DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion and CEO and founder of DDP Yoga. And you, monkey, well, you're listening to Rack Radio Show, the Rack Radio Show. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bye!
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at FightPoop.com, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. And this is where I would normally go to another plug, but we changed our plug, so if I mess them up, I'm so sorry. I'm trying not to. If there's a little awkwardness, again, change, trying to adjust, all that good happy stuff, but that doesn't matter right now, because what does matter is it's time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Ninja, the countdown for Ninja's night shift has begun. Just about 30 minutes until we start the show. Tim the Tapman, bro, it's 10:38 a.m. Tim the Tapman, wait, I'm in America.
Wait.
Hey, that wasn't much of a delay. Cool. Anyway, continue.
Courage, JD! Imagine this. Thanos is about to win again in Avengers Endgame. All hope is lost. Then the Avengers theme starts playing. The doors bust open. Thanos turns and looks in fear. It's Girthquake. Chills, brr. And it's a picture of Tim and Courage bursting in. And he continues on his... And he, apparently he's very on Endgame right now, because he says, I really want Avengers Endgame to be 6 hours, or I should say be a 6 hour long film. Let me pay $50 for a ticket and bring me a ham sandwich or a ham and cheese sandwich midway through. Does it really need to be 6 hours? Does it really need to be that long?
No.
I mean, it's going to be... In case anybody doesn't know, a new trailer for Endgame dropped today, because they have released Captain Marvel over the weekend, which means they can now release all the trailers with Captain Marvel in the trailer, because before they couldn't do that because spoilers. So now they're releasing the trailers with her in it and kind of showing more of the film. And I mean, I will admit, I am a little excited for the in-game trailer just because it's like, yeah, here we go. This is it. If you saw Infinity War, it ends at a kind of crucial point. So you're like, ah, where's the rest? And now we get it in a month or so. So yay. Yay, more Marvel movies. But yes, also, I just want to say this really quickly before you go. If you're one of the dickholes that tried to tank Captain Marvel with a negative review before you ever saw it or it ever came out, you suck and you need to reevaluate your life choices. That's all I'm saying. Thank you. Please play through.
Am I allowed to go now?
You're allowed to go now.
Courage GD. Chicken nuggets. Cypher. PK. You sound like a 4-year-old yelling at his mom from the back of a family SUV while she drives by the McDonald's you've been demanding she stop at because she told you there's still some leftover casserole from last week. Courage GD. That's what I told my Uber. I said chicken nuggets. And now we're getting them. My life is a movie.
That was oddly specific.
Corey Graves. As someone who has unfortunately stepped foot in New Jersey, it is my right to pretend that it does not exist. God bless the 49 states of America.
I agree with Corey Graves on this. No offense to anybody that lives in Jersey, but that is a horrible state. At least the northern part. The southern part's kind of okay.
Southern Jersey
is not bad.
Southern Jersey is fine. Northern... Carmella. Siri, play Obsessed by Mariah Carey, and it has a picture of Zelina Vega looking at her. It's a thing. Dr. Lupo, thanks so much, Super Meat Boy, for the package. I'm ready to save Bandage Girl. Ninja. Psh, Bandage Girl. I remember when you used to save her and play Super Meat Boy without tweeting about it and bragging. Jeez, missed the old dynasty Dr. Lupo who hit all his snipes. You've changed, man. He has. Gabe Goodwin. Le'Veon has to be the first guy who ever fought to guarantee more years on the Jets. Yeah. Who wants to guarantee years on the Jets? Just saying. Tfue and Cloak, we're doing Gauntlet Ranked Duos. Tim Tamangos, Courage and I will see you boys tonight in the hundreds, and I'm going to clap, Cloak. Cloak goes, the only thing you two are clapping is a bacon burger. Courage.
Ooh!
Dog, I can't wait to clap you guys 2v2 and then leave your name out of the YouTube title because you have no clout. Dab.
Wait, so Courage and Tim challenge Tfue and Cloak?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. They're going to die really, really hard. Although, I don't know, because somebody sniped the crap out of Tfue in one of the games earlier today.
He did. So we're going to talk about this later, but I want to play this sound now because it's part of a tweet. Because someone tweets, are you going to let Randy talk about your aunt like that at the real EC3? And here was the sound.
2005, AJ was down in Florida getting a tan with Dixie Carter while I was here facing The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
EC3 replied, yep.
Well, I mean, you know, like you do. I will say Dixie Carter did have a pretty good clap back to that.
She did.
Just saying.
Stokey Hathaway, hiring personal security to protect me from me again. Must be 6'4". I can name all the members of Drew Hill within 5 seconds. $7.89 an hour, $8.33 if you can keep her away from me while I eat. And her reply was, bro. And Ronnie Pascal, TV show pitch, Fullest House, an Aunt Becky spinoff, but in an overpopulated prison.
Ooh! No! Too soon.
Tweet of the week.
Alrighty.
Okay.
By the way,
go ahead.
I love how, like, I think it was it Tumblr or was it Instagram? It was Facebook. It was actually on Facebook. We're scrolling through my Facebook feed and somebody had posted a picture, I think, from WrestleMania 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a picture of Randy, he's got the IC title, and in the background it says sign AJ Styles. On a sign in the crowd. Somebody actually went and found that and clipped that and is passing that around. So it's like, that's nice.
Way to call it back.
Way to bring it all together, guys. Group effort. By the way, before we move on to Fastlane, I just have to say something. Target, you evil, evil bastards. And by the way, if you would like to sponsor this show, it's media@wildtalkradio.com. So, because I have to tell everybody about this because I have experienced this. And everybody else should have to experience this too. I go to my local Target by my office to get lunch. I do the healthy thing. I get a salad, but it's like, you know what? I want a little something, something not good for me. So I go in the bakery and I'm walking around and I come across this rather like plain little package of cookies. And it says chocolate filled shortbread cookies. I don't know who the hell invented this, but I love you and thank you. Y'all, these are the most amazing, delicious, awful things for you ever, but good God almighty, I want to eat my weight in them because they're just so good. They're like melt-in-your-mouth buttery cookies filled with chocolate. I mean, how is that bad? Seriously. It's just yes. All the yes. Yes. So, go to your local Target. They sell them in the bakery. They are $2.99 for four. And again, Target, if you would like to sponsor our show, media@wildtalkradio.com. Now we're going to talk about Fastlane. But I had to get that off my chest. There's going to be a lot coming off my chest tonight, I feel like.
Yep. Moving on, not going to go there. We're going to just move on, he says, to the pay-per-view Fastlane on the WWE Network. It featured matches like Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev versus The New Day, which The New Day ended up winning. Solid tag match. It featured SmackDown tag team titles, Usos versus Miz and Shane McMahon. Who knew Miz could fly?
Not us. But this was a good match. This was an entertaining match.
It was a good match. The Shane McMahon going coast to coast and then stopping an Uso splash looked really scary.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It was kind of like, ooh, Shane. No, honey, no. That's bad. No. So, acting based on what happened on SmackDown, which, do you just want to do SmackDown mixed in with Fastlane?
Let me get to the what happened here, then we can mix it in.
Okay.
So, Miz missed the frog splash because he was looking over his father, then hit the frog splash, missed because the knees got up, small package, Usos retain. Everyone's feeling so sad for the Miz, and hugs for the Miz, hug Miz's dad, he hugs Miz, and they're all hugging, Shane's hugging, everyone's very sad, Miz is very sad. And then Shane clotheslines the hell out of Miz from behind, beats the crap out of Miz on the outside, all in front of Miz's dad. Then he chokes Miz's dad. Then he choked out the Miz with a triangle choke on the outside.
Okay, before we mix in SmackDown, I just want to make this comment. Shane is the general manager of SmackDown.
No, he's
that
just,
is his
no,
job.
He's no. There's no more general manager. He's
what?
Just,
he's a McMahon.
He's a McMahon.
You know what?
He's a McMahon family member in charge of WWE.
Okay, fine.
It's not just SmackDown.
He's a goddamn McMahon. You can restart the match, dude. Like, if you want it that badly, restart the goddamn match and make it no DQ or some crap like that. You don't have to, like, choke out a dude in front of his dad. That's all I'm saying.
But based on SmackDown, did he really want it that bad?
No, he really didn't want it that bad. He was kind of over the Miz. He was over the Miz's dad's potato face, which is an interesting way to describe that face. And yeah, so basically Shane and the Miz are going to fight at WrestleMania.
Because Shane is tired of everybody using him. They've been using him his entire life to get somewhere. So he's tired of it. Like, Miz was trying to use Shane to get elsewhere in WWE, and Shane's tired of it. So he's going to face the Miz at WrestleMania. Should be fun.
That's what he gets for being the nice McMahon.
Yes.
I mean, legit. Not to make that sound awful, but Shane, you were always the nice one. Damn it.
At times. He's had his evil moments.
He has had his moments. When he was younger, he did some questionable things. But, you know, as he's gotten older, he was always the nice one. But, yeah. I just hope Shane doesn't do anything crazy stupid at Mania.
Like jump off the Empire State Building?
Yeah. I think I heard somewhere he was going to kind of sort of like dial the craziness back a little bit. Because he's taken some really, really pretty big serious bumps over the last year. 2 years. So yeah, he's kind of like, maybe I just need to like pull this back a smidge.
We'll see what happens at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
For the first time tonight, Elias showed up, leading to Asuka and Mandy Rose for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
This was actually a pretty entertaining match.
It was okay.
I have to say.
It was okay.
It wasn't the greatest thing since sliced bread. It wasn't what I would call a barn burner of a wrestling match, but it was entertaining. Asuka and Mandy and Sonya all worked really well together. You had Mandy and Sonya try to play the numbers game on Asuka. And of course, Asuka is just not having any of that crap. And she just kicks Mandy in the face at one point. 1, 2, 3. She beats Mandy.
It was after Sonya was looking for the Singapore cane. The ring apron was on the mat, and we had a slip of the banana peel. She slipped on the ring apron and leading to the kick.
Which was fine.
There's a little tension between Sonya and Mandy at the moment.
Yeah, there's a little issue between the girlfriends.
Yeah.
A little bit, but like, yeah. Which carried over to SmackDown.
Yeah. So there's that. So on the pre-show, the McMahon family wanted Kofi to come to their office. So Kofi's been waiting there for over an hour. New Day walks up. Like, what are you doing? What? You haven't seen Vince? Like, no, I haven't seen him. I've been waiting here. And then they storm into the office. And Vince says, I've been waiting for you for an hour. Where are you? Where have you been? I've been outside. And then Big E does this impassioned speech to Vince. Vince is like, okay, fine. The match is now a triple threat match. Your match is now. So go out there. So Kofi, and New Day's barred. So Kofi goes out there. It's time for the WWE Championship. The big ring announcement's made. And then, instead of introducing the second challenger, it was a bait and switch. So Kofi kicks in a handicap match against the Bar. And it was a really long beatdown.
It was, and everybody got really upset, and I think some people were a little confused because it was like, okay, so is Kofi still in the title match? Like, what's going on? Or is it just a beatdown? But yeah, so it's like this happened, and then on SmackDown, Brian has turned into what he hates, and he called Kofi just a pretty good B-plus player. Gee, where have we heard that before?
Yeah, we'll dive deeper into that one in a second. But New Day came out and were attacked by Rusev and Shinsuke, which leading into SmackDown, they got the revenge by beating up Rusev and Shinsuke. So there's all that ties in. We'll get to the Kofi stuff in a little bit because there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. Elias sung again. Oh, the Bar one. Elias sung again. Shane had no answer for his attack, but we talked about that already. Then it was a revival. Gable and Rude versus Ricochet and Aleister Black for the Raw Tag Team titles. Gable is really good. That out of everything in this matchup, Gable is really good.
Gable is absolutely 100% solid. I mean, you can't fault him at all for being good at what he does. And just the same goes for the Revival. The Revival, I feel like everybody was good in this match.
Yeah.
But this was a little bit of an afterthought.
Yeah, the Hurricanrana outside were almost, they almost didn't get in the right positions and everyone, yeah. That was a little bad. Finish at the end, Shatter Machine, Revival won, but then Rude attacked, and then Black and Ricochet attacked. Ricochet hit the 630. No one actually got over.
But Ricochet looked really good doing it.
Mm-hmm. Samoa Joe, Rey Mysterio, R-Truth, and Andrade for the U.S. title. That was supposed to be Rey Mysterio and Andrade on the pre-show, but no. Turned into a four-way. R-Truth was playing the part of John Cena, and Samoa Joe choked out Rey Mysterio to retain his title.
There you go.
Enjoyable match.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was really good. I mean, they definitely made some last minute changes, which, okay.
That's fine.
Roll with the punches on this one. And yeah, I mean, it was a good, it was solid.
Women's tag team title match. Boston Hug Connection versus Nia Jax and Tamina.
Tamina got good gear, y'all. Tamina got good gear. I'm so happy. I mean, not to say that her gear before was bad, but she had this weird thing dangling down between her legs, and there's some weird stuff going on there. So she's got this nice, cute jacket-pant combo now. She looks good. She's moving around good. I mean, I was fine with this. I'm not talking about the actual match. We're just going to talk about Tamina's look, because that, yeah.
Samoan drops are not their good. Samoan bloodlines can't do. Cap, Bayley and Sasha retain. I'm not going to go into it. I don't want to talk about it because I will come off as mean. I do not want to come off as mean. Just going to say Sasha and Bayley retained.
This was fine. This was not the best thing ever.
She almost dropped Sasha on her head.
We're moving on.
So Nia Jax and Tamina, again, after the match, attacked Bayley and Sasha. This is where the protector of the belt, Beth Phoenix, got up in Tamina's face.
And this is where everybody went, Mom!
She slapped Tamina right in the face, and then there was a beat down on Beth. About a minute later, Natty tried to make the save, but she got beaten down as well. As we saw on Monday, looks like Beth is here for now.
Divas of Doom, give it to me! Give them the run that they never were able to have in WWE before, like... Okay, I have to go into this because I'm really, really excited about this. So I don't think I was able to really get into it on Monday because I was super tired on Monday. So Divas of Doom, If you've never seen it, if you don't know what it is, which some people don't, was Beth Phoenix and Natalya back in the day. And this is back in the Diva era before all the Women's Revolution stuff happened, when all it was bra and panty matches, tits, asses, and that's it. The women, they didn't care about the women. They weren't interested in the women. They were the piss break. They were the joke. And all the girls were models. They weren't wrestlers, really. I mean, I don't mean to insult them, but they were not trained to the level that they are now. And if you listen to interviews from like Maria Kanellis and those people, they will flat out admit that they didn't really pay attention when they should have been. And they've since gone back and gotten retrained in some cases to actually be professional wrestlers. Really, all they did for the girls kind of back in the day was teach them how to do a couple moves, and that was it, because they were only on TV for 5 seconds. So it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the two exceptions to this were Beth Phoenix and Natalya. They were fully trained professional wrestlers, and they were kind of there as the support talent for the other girls
mm-hmm.
to help make the other girls look good. And so Natty and Beth teamed up and created the Divas of Doom, which was ahead of its time, was amazing. And I think they teamed up against Laykul.
I think so, yeah.
To try and take on Laykul, which mm-hmm. sadly, it was a very short-lived feud. Nothing really came of it. And Beth left, I think, very shortly after that.
That was towards her end of her run, yeah.
Yeah, she retired very shortly after that. So we never really got to see what they could fully do. Now, fast forward to Sunday, where Beth Phoenix gets up, looks fantastic, and smacks the ever-living hell out of Tamina. And I'm just sitting here like, yes! It was much louder than that. But I was like so happy, so excited. I'm screaming, I'm yelling, because yes, Divas of Doom for the tag titles. Give it to me. Just give it to me. Can you imagine? Beth Phoenix and Natty versus Sasha and Bayley. Holy sweet baby Jesus on a pogo stick. Give it to me. My ovaries are ready for this. I'm just a tad excited. Can everybody tell?
A little bit.
It's the cookies.
Totally. No, it's not the cookies. She's just
excited. I'm blaming the cookies. No. By the way, I hate you, Target, but I love you. Please sponsor us.
Anyway, you good?
I'm good.
WWE title, Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan, and the triple threat partner, Mustafa Ali. Because it was a triple threat match after all.
Okay, so to be fair in this, this was very confusing because it was like they did make it a triple threat at the beginning of the show. And it's like, okay, so is Kofi in it? Is Kofi not in it? Like, I don't think anybody's really sure after the beatdown. And then it's like, I think everybody was expecting Kofi. Everybody was chanting for Kofi. And then Mustafa Ali's music hits. And I have no problem with Mustafa Ali whatsoever. Zero problem with him. In fact, he had the shot first because he beat Brian and he got hurt. So he was not able to face off against Brian. So now he's getting his shot, which is completely fair. Here's the problem. Everybody wanted Kofi.
They were very evident as they kept chanting, "We want Kofi. We want Kofi."
They Rey Mysterio'd Mustafa Ali. And what I mean by that is Royal Rumble a couple years ago, I think everybody was wanting Daniel Bryan in the Royal Rumble. It didn't happen. And they had Rey Mysterio come in and he was number 30. And everybody got pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Got super pissed because Bryan wasn't in the Rumble and they just booed. And I think that was the year Roman won. Mm. That was the year Roman won the Rumble.
No. Batista.
Oh, that's right. It was the year Batista won the Rumble. I'm sorry. I knew it was somebody big and the fans were pissed and just rejected it and booed the crap out of it. And so this was kind of the same situation. Poor Mustafa Ali. Dude's just going out there trying to do his best. And the crowd was just like, nope, we want Kofi. Like, oh, honey. I'm so sorry.
So the matchup was good.
It was fantastic. It
very
was great.
Very, very enjoyable.
Watch it on mute. It's fine.
Daniel Bryan retained. So there's that. Now let's get into what happened on SmackDown.
So they're using the Daniel Bryan tactic on Kofi, and it's working. Let's all be real. It's working. And so Bryan told Kofi that, you know, he's a very solid B-plus player.
He told Vince this in backstage that he was a B-plus player.
Yes, which in turn got back to Kofi. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And so essentially what happened is they're like, yeah, you can have a shot at the title. Yeah, sure. If you can beat the Bar. Who all does he have to beat? He has to beat like 20 people.
Okay, so let me give you some context to it. So Vince is out there and like he's trying to give people what they want and he's not sure on Kofi. He just doesn't think it. So they all give impassioned speeches, but Kofi comes out there and he gives this impassioned speech about never asking for anything, never begging for anything, never talking about being screwed over opportunities. He just wants to know what he has to do. He's never demanded a thing, but he wants to know what he has to do to prove that he deserves this one title shot. So Vince goes, well, you have to beat Randy Orton's music. So if you go back to the last time Kofi Kingston had a big singles push, it was against Randy Orton in either 2007, 2008. And well, things did not go well for Kofi after he dumped paint on a car. We really didn't see much of Kofi from that point on. So that was his last opportunity. And then Kofi's like, okay, it's my past. Kind of, right. He's like, in his head, you can see him like, okay, I have to go back into my past and beat someone from my past. And then out came Samoa Joe, and then it's like, oh. And then came the bar. Oh. And Eric Rowan. Oh. So next week, he has to run the gauntlet of Randy, Joe, the bar, and Rowan. So you know what SmackDown is next week? Probably an hour of Kofi versus Randy, Samoa Joe, the bar, and Rowan. In individual matches, which would be a hell of a TV show. So they're going to make Kofi earn it. Like, I was ranting on Sundays, like, you got to find me a loophole. Tell me why. Vince doesn't see it. So how are you going to get him on there? If he's making him earn it, then I'm okay with how they're putting him in the main event for the title. Okay? We good there?
We're good there. But yeah, so they're applying the Daniel Bryan push to Kofi Kingston, and it is working.
Mm-hmm.
And this should be very interesting to see what happens next week.
Becky versus Charlotte. This was all about working Becky's knee and setting up Ronda coming out to cause the DQ, putting Becky in the match.
There was so much sass in this goddamn match. There was just so much. All the sass. Between Becky and Charlotte, when Ronda came out, just the whole F you, I don't give a crap, there's no pretense to this whatsoever, and it's like, Ronda wants Becky in the match. So goddamn it, if she has to go out there and make sure Becky gets in the match, that's exactly what's going to happen, and that's what she did. And Becky kind of just sat there, was like, okay.
Yeah, on SmackDown, Becky cut a nice promo talking about how she has been playing mind games with Ronda Rousey and how she got in her head and now she's getting back in the title match that she had already earned. Then she had a confrontation with Charlotte. And yeah, good stuff between the two of them. The match is heating up.
Yep.
And then we had more Elias. We had Lacey Evans do her twirl. And then we had an RKO out of nowhere to Elias, and then an AJ Styles out of nowhere with a flying forearm to Randy Orton.
Okay.
Which then...
It gets him on the show.
It got him on the show. Which then brings us to SmackDown Live. Boy, it got us to SmackDown Live. So Randy Orton comes out. He's all fired up. You can tell he's fired up. And he goes, this is the house that AJ Styles built, right? Well, in 2002, he was working in high school gyms for $10. AJ Styles was working in high school gyms for $10 a night while he was debuting in WWE. In 2004, AJ Styles was in bingo halls while Randy Orton was becoming the youngest WWE champion. In 2005, yes, we are alive, the clutch. In 2005, he was down in Florida getting a tan with Dixie Carter while he was wrestling The Undertaker at WrestleMania. So we had a Dixie Carter reference at WrestleMania, on SmackDown. A Dixie Carter reference in 2019. What in the world world are we living in, Lindsay?
I don't know. I just don't know. Yeah. Hi, Matt.
So Orton said he kept going. Hey, Orton said this was the house the house was built long before AJ Styles got there. SmackDown was the house he built. He also mentions about, you know, indie workers, which brought out AJ Styles. He told Orton that for someone that looks down at the indies, he sure did follow his career pretty closely, and he's proud of where it came from. And he talked about how, you know, all those indie guys that you look down on, they're all in the locker room now, are all here. He said he's been told his entire career the guys like Orton were built for WWE, but that's because guys like Orton wouldn't have strived there doing the pose that Orton does or the knockoff diamond cutter. Orton said it was funny that Styles claims he and his indie buddies never ripped anyone off and then did too sweet. Styles told Orton to look around. Like I said, he's surrounded by all these indie guys. He said every one of them earned their place in WWE and they just run to dad and ask for a job. He said Orton had a lot of help from people like Triple H, Ric Flair, and Batista. Orton responded that by saying, basically, he accomplished more by 24 than Styles or his buddies will ever achieve. He listed off all of his accomplishments. Said he didn't need help to do it. And then AJ mentioned Evolution, Legacy, the thing people forget about, Rated RKO, and the Wyatt family. Said Orton has had a lot of babysitters.
Randy Orton ruined Bray Wyatt's life. Pass it on. Bray Wyatt was never the same after Randy Orton got done with him. I am going to point that out, and that is the hill I'm going to die on, because God damn it, Randy.
Orton basically said, as long as Styles wants to rent a room in his house, he's the landlord. And rent has come due, you son of a bitch. And then Styles then said, if you want the rent, come and take it. Point it at the WrestleMania sign. So there you go. There's your setup for Randy Orton and AJ Styles at WrestleMania.
This was actually probably one of the best promos I've seen Randy Orton cut in a really long while. This was a nice little back and forth between the two. And I like that they did point out the differences that Styles really did have to work his way to WWE. He struggled and he scrimped and he saved and he clawed his way there. And he's built his own name. He's built his own career. Randy had to struggle a little bit, but not really, because Randy was signed pretty much as a virtual unknown into OVW. He was trained up in OVW. He was brought in. And he was pretty much pushed as a star from the get-go.
Yeah.
I mean, he was put right into the main events. He was, well, he was pretty much...
He worked with Bob Holly early on. He was never in the main events early, but all signs...
But they pushed him as a main eventer early.
All signs where he was going to be a guy. That was the deal. All signs where he was going to be a guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, so Randy really hasn't had the same path that Styles had, plus Styles did it with a lot less drug pops on wellness, but you know, it's whatever. But this was nice. This was good. I liked it. It was a it's a fine little setup for it.
Main event is Fastlane, the Shield versus Lashley, McIntyre, and Corbin. Shield win. Lol. Go.
All right. So I have to rant about this, and it's not even really a rant, but watching this whole thing and them doing what they're doing, which I'm just going to say this flat out, and it's an unpopular opinion. And if I piss anybody off, if I offend anybody, I am terribly sorry. I certainly don't mean to offend you at all. But I need you to look at it from this perspective, that WWE actively monetizing Roman Reigns' illness and using it to their clear advantage is not okay. And the fact that everybody is falling for it is not okay. I mean, let's all be completely honest about what this was Roman Reigns got sick. He got cancer, which is a terrible, scary thing, and nobody wanted to see him get it, especially him. You know, he goes off, he gets treatment, he gets better, and he's ready to go when he comes back. And, you know, the first week he comes back, and it's the celebration that we should all have for him and for really any cancer survivor. I said this before, that, you know, anybody that beats cancer, that goes through that horrible disease and that horrible treatment, should get to stand in front of a crowd of 20,000 people and say, I'm cancer free! And everybody loses their mind. That would be amazing if everybody could have that. But not everybody can, but in Roman's case, he got it. And everybody was super supportive and we were super on board with it. And they're like, buy the shirts, buy this, buy that. And you know, of course, everybody does it because you want to support Roman. The key in that is that WWE never said, oh, well, you know, a portion of the proceeds is going to go to a charity, or it's going to go to the treatment center that helped Roman Reigns. It's not going to go anywhere except in WWE's pockets. But nobody noticed that because we were all super distracted by the joy. Now you fast forward a week later. You have Roman Reigns out there. We're still touting that he's cancer-free. That's super awesome. And Roman's kind of like, yeah, well, you know, I really want the Shield to get back together because Ambrose is leaving and we never know if we're going to be together again and yada, yada, yada. And then they kind of use the cancer in the storyline as a way to sort of propel and make the Shield reunion happen, which is like, well, wait a minute, that's really kind of sort of borderline not okay for me. I mean, I will be the first person to tell you that I'm always on board for them capitalizing on real life situations and taking advantage of groundswells and doing all these things, but it's like, for me, cancer is a little bit different. And for Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins to basically be like, well, yeah, you know, life's short, and since you got sick, yeah, buddy, let's do it. Let's do it for you. One more time, let's reunite the Shield. You know, never mind that I'm going for the title in 6 weeks at this point, I think.
4 weeks.
4 weeks, whatever it was. You know, never mind all of that. Never mind the fact we have to go wrangle Ambrose. You know, yeah, let's all get together. Let's do this. And so Sunday night happens, and again, they've ramped it up even further now, where they're now calling it the greatest fight ever, and the Shield reunion one last time, and Monday night they say the farewell, and it's buy the shirts, buy this, buy that. And again, nothing is indicating that any of this is going to charity. They're just lining their own pockets and fully capitalizing on the fact that Roman Reigns has gotten sick and has gotten better. And that just doesn't sit right with me. And it's something that it cheapened this whole match for me. Like, nothing they did, and it was a good match. Don't get me wrong. What they did, it was a fine match. Wrestling-wise, it was completely solid, but in terms of the emotion, in terms of the build, in terms of the story, it was... Well, we're just going to throw this together real quick because we got to get Roman back in the storylines. We got to get him ready for WrestleMania. We got to do this. We got to do that. We're going to rush it. Da, 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 da. There's no build into putting the Shield back together because honestly, they don't have the time. It's like Roman came back. Ambrose is leaving. They sandwiched them together and they gave us this, which I get that. I get they're on a tight time crunch and I don't fault that. What I don't like is that they're actively using Roman's illness as a way to do it. I just don't like that. And I feel like them using it to a monetary advantage as well is wrong. It's just wrong. And it cheapens everything. It completely, at least for me, ruins it just because I have known people that have died from cancer. I think everybody has. I've had two people relatively close to me die from cancer, and it is a horrible way to die. Roman Reigns is very, very lucky that he came through it and he's going to be okay and he's going to be just fine and he's going to get to go on with his life. But I know people that won't. Everybody knows people that won't. So it's like when they're like, this is the greatest fight ever, it's like, well, but that's not necessarily the case, right? It's not, because we could say that, you know, everybody that has come through cancer, that is the greatest fight ever, because for them it's personal and they beat it. And for him it's personal and he beat it. But, you know, for your friend that has it, for, you know, the kid that's in the hospital with it that just found out, hey, I'm gonna be okay, that's the greatest fight. So for me, it's kind of like the fact that they're using in the storyline, it just doesn't sit well with me. I don't really like it. I'm not a fan of it. You know, it's like, if they wanted to use the fact that Ambrose was leaving, that's fine, because that's a perfectly logical reason. You know, it's like, hey, look, we need to get the band together one more time. Let's do the thing. Or, you know, McIntyre and this guy and that, and Lashley, who was it? McIntyre, Lashley, and
Corbin.
They're being dicks. You know, we're not getting along with each other, but they're being dicks to all three of us. Let's go beat them up. So, maybe it could be WWE has plans for the money that they're making off of this. I would hope so. I would love to see them potentially give it to a charity of Roman's selection or donate it to a series of treatment centers, including the one that treated Roman Reigns and helped him recover. If they helped children with leukemia, even if they did anything to raise awareness. I think that's the worst part about this, is they're like, Roman Reigns is recovering from leukemia and here's where you can go learn more about it. There's none of that. Like, there's a marketing hole in here, and the WWE marketing machine is exactly that. It is a machine, and they do some of the best work, and I can't fault them for doing this because they've done it right. They've got everybody on board for this. Everybody's buying the crap out of the shirts. They're watching the shows. They're cheering Roman on. It's worked. Except for the fact that you had a huge opportunity to raise awareness for a really awful thing, and you didn't do it. You didn't, and you're not. And it right now, it seems like you're not actively pursuing that at all. And so that's mainly why I couldn't get into it. I mean, I know that's at least to me, a stupid reason, but it's a reason. It's just like, especially the more that you watched it and you saw the promos and you saw this and you saw that, you're just like, yeah, I kind of can't get on board with this. I'm sorry. I just can't. I'm really sorry he got sick, and I'm super happy that he got better. But in terms of the way that they're using this to their advantage, I just don't feel like it's right. Use the fact that somebody's leaving, you know, and I know it's not much more different than an injury, like somebody breaks a leg and they come back and they're like, oh, hey, look, my leg's all better. Yay. But I just feel like cancer is a little bit different, because, I mean, it's like, for one person that gets better, what about the five that don't, or whatever the statistic is? You know, it's like, you know, what about the kid or the person that's in a hospice bed dying from the same disease that Roman Reigns just recovered from?
Mm-hmm. You feel better now?
I feel better now. I'd like to see a little bit more awareness raised, and I don't often advocate for social justice stuff. I just don't do that. I generally like to keep the stuff private, but for me personally, the fact that there is no awareness being raised, there's none of this is going to charity. I mean, they can even say some of the proceeds are going to charity. They're not. They are just legit straight up making money off the fact that Roman Reigns got cancer. Straight up doing it in front of everybody. I mean, they're being very public about it, so I can't fault them. They're not hiding it. But at the same time, it's like, everybody's on board with it because the marketing department did their job. But it's just, it for me, it made this match a little difficult to sit through, a little bit difficult to watch, because it was like, I just can't get behind this. I just really, really can't. I'm sorry. I just can't.
Okay. So to get into the wrestling portion of it really quick, Seth Rollins should never wear the Shield gear again, especially the old gear, because it doesn't make him look like a main eventer. It makes him just look like Roman Reigns' lackey. Number two, you should not do a count-out spot where Dean has to be the 10 count, and then 5 minutes later, have them all fight on the outside for 5 minutes. Those are two mistakes that should not be made in a main event match. Just saying. Anyway. That was Fastlane.
I mean, it was a solid pay-per-view. I don't think anybody expected this to be the whiz-bang knockout of the century, because this is essentially the setup for WrestleMania. It's the tweener show, so it's like the fact that they're just having it for shits and giggles at this point. But yeah.
So
it was there. It was fine. We're now on to Mania.
Would you like to know how you did?
Sure.
The 8-ball went 3-4.
Did I beat the 8-ball?
You did. So did I. We were perfect.
Hey!
Perfect 7-0.
Go us! We can accurately guess things sometimes.
Yay!
Yay!
Anyway, that's our show.
That's our show, so you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday Night Midnight Dish is CB Radio, CBRadioLab.com, GreatGreatDebate.com. Sunday, if there's enough to talk about, Russell Talk Radio will be live at 10 p.m. Eastern. We're live every single Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern to talk everything that goes on Monday Night Raw. It's the Raw Post Show. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews Total Bella Season 7 Episode 8 now available. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, the WWE Greatest Rivalries from DK Publishing, which it's available in bookstores everywhere right now. Go out and buy it at www.shop.com, amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, you know the deal. Check out our review. It's available now. Make sure you follow us on social media. It's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's the Rack Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. Make sure you follow and subscribe twitch.tv/WTRLive. Use creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop because it helps me, supports me, and all that other fun, happy stuff because reasons. Do the thing. At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Alrighty, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211 and FightBoot.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And sit tight, because I think we're doing Fortnite with friends after this. We got to round everybody up. So everybody, hang out, chill out. Relax, go get you some water, something to drink, some cookies, whatever. We'll be right back. But till then, bye!
Wild Talk Radio.com.